I'll have to take a moment before I begin what I've topics of, but a little bit of context too of how this came about. Last Sunday, Josh and I were talking, and he says, "Are you good coming? Are you good Sunday?" For fear of, and for just making sure, I said, "Yeah, I might." And Josh, knowing that we had a funeral this week coming up, that's what he was asking about as well too. But I told Josh, I said, "Yeah, I might learn some life lessons this week, and I can bring them forth then too." That's what we're going to go with, life lessons, isn't it? But with that context, I want to take a minute, and I apologize I didn't bring it up this morning in announcements, but just to, from Janet and Janet's family, as well as myself, to give a heartfelt thank you to each and every one here for this week coming. It was a struggle in sense. It went amazingly well for what we expected this week to go, but just the love and the friendship of this congregation. I saw many faces here that were at the visitation. Many faces were here at the service, the graveside services. Not because we knew Betty, Janet's mother, but because we know the family. We know Janet. We know we care about each other here. So, again, and as well as our entire family, I know they noticed that as well. But, again, my sincere, heartfelt thank you to the congregation, well, for all that you've done and all that you're part of that life too. I tell people my mother drugged me in these doors 50 years ago, and this is all I know, but what better way could you have your mother drag you in the door 50-some years ago and then have a family like this as well for all that are involved too. But again, thank you so much for all that you've done for us as family. But with that, and again, I want to steal part of Rick's disclaimer. We're going to go really quickly. We're going to hit a lot of verses here. Again, grab on, hang on to something, and write it down. We'll be moving right quickly too. But the things that I want to talk about, they're not necessarily life lessons of this week. Although, while we as a family, and I mentioned that several people in conversation this week, of while we make funerals a family reunion, but we do. And I don't, the society and the way we live and the things we do, but what else would make everybody drop everything they have to come together as a family to remember somebody that we've lost? Janet really has an amazing family, some really fun people I like to be around too, but the last time I saw them was at the last funeral we were at. I know that I'm not alone in that. I know we all tend to do that, but when I'm thinking about that, is that, I don't want to put that as a negative, because we will sometimes take that as, why do we take an opportunity like this, like a lost loved one, to come together? But that's what we do as family, what we do as friends. And it's an opportunity to get together and reconnect. But again, some of the things, and again, some bullet points I'll reference here, but I want to talk about family. I want to talk about friendship, patience, forgiveness, love, and hope. The things that are so common and so dear to us in our way of thinking and what we do in life and the way we treat each other. Again, I mentioned the idea about family. And when you lose somebody close to your family, and you are a part of a family that is spread out geographically, it's difficult to get together as family at a time that's not like that. But where else can you come together and meet family and greet family over the loss of a loved one and to remember while we're here? We understand family in the sense of we are a family. We are God's family. We are servants of Christ. We are together. He put us here for a reason. He gave us a group of people. He gave us the first day of the week to come together, A, to remember the sacrifice that Christ gave us and understand the hope that we have, shall we remain faithful, that we will come home. But he gave us people. He gave us family to suffer together, to cry with, to laugh with, to enjoy each other's company and strengthen one another too. I mentioned life, laughing, and when you go to a visitation, yes, there was a lot of sadness, but there was a lot of laughter too. You come together, you remember the life of somebody, you just enjoy the memories that take you back to the point where you remember the good times, the things that you grew up with, the laughter in a somber moment. But again, I think it's a true gift of God. Maybe I overextend my laughter sometimes, but I enjoy that. It gives me peace. It gives me comfort. But you can do that among friends and among family. That friendship, I'll take us to Galatians 6 and 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deserves himself. Each one of us should test his own actions. These are the things, again, Paul's talking about here, knowing that we as fellow Christians, we as a family, we know there are going to be hard times and there's going to be struggles along the way. At no time did God intend us to be alone in this. He gave us each other. He gave us, and we'll touch on hope in a minute, but he gave us that hope that once this world is past and is fleeting, that we have that hope, that we can come together, that hold on to that, that God has given us. Again, and in the same sense, I'll touch on patience. We'll go to Ephesians 4 and 13. We'll back up, get whole all of Ephesians. We'll start in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy the calling you have received by the completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with each one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, he goes on there and talks about the one body, the one Spirit, the one baptism, the oneness that God has created in each of us, that we're striving for and longing for, that hope, that relief, that gift that he has given us, should we remain faithful in the stead. But, you know, again, as Paul's talking about there, be patient and bearing with one another in the love that is accompanying, again, back to that hope and that understanding that we have and that love that we have for what we've given. Likewise, I'll move on to forgiveness. Again, flip over Ephesians, again, carrying on Ephesians 4, go down to verse 32 of Ephesians 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. A lesson in a quarter and a lesson that could go so much deeper just in the idea of forgiveness. You know, what is forgiveness and who is forgiveness for? I think a lot of that we miss the point. I think God understands us. And if we hold that grudge, that forgiveness can be for us far greater than the forgiveness that we give to somebody else. Again, talking about families. Families are not always easy, are they? And immediate family, direct family, any of those kind of ways, from the past to the present. But there comes a time in there where we as individuals, we as Christians, we move on. We forgive. We understand that forgiveness may not be necessarily for the ones, but it's for us. Because God knows with that grudge, with that, I'd like to say something like a cancer, a disease inside of you. That's what it was. If you hold on to that, that's exactly what it will do. It will eat you upon that point and bring you, in a way, it separates you from God as well. Just as, I'll use that in Matthew 6, where he's talking about forgiveness. And we all know what Christ is talking about in Matthew 6, starting in verse 12. Forgive our debts, also as we forgive our debtors. Again, we know Christ praying and how to pray there and the things we know, but knowing that Christ understands that, given the idea that Christ's teaching has taught us to pray. Again, a lot can be said about forgiveness, but it's much more important, again, to the forgiveness of that we move on as true Christians and the grief that brings us complete with God's plan. Moving on to hope. Again, there's a lot of things, many, many instances where faith, hope, and love Christ brings about in Scripture. Understanding that this as a group of individuals that we're stronging for, that we're living for. Tim touched this a tiny bit in class today about the hope. And if you don't have the hope, the expectation of heaven, if you don't have the understanding of what God has given you, if you're going to live by science and man's ideas alone, what hope is there? What true hope is there if you're living by what you see, about what you understand life, as you hope in science? Again, knowing that God, that is God's science, but you still, without that giving, without a creator, the one true creator, the loving God that sent his only son to die on the cross, that we too could have that hope of eternity with him. Quick, in Romans 5, talking about said hope, we'll just pick up there in Romans 5, start at 1, go from there, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace. We now stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in the suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love onto our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. That hope that we bring for, again, liken this to a funeral. That point is over for that individual. They have moved on. They've made their place. They've made their stand. That's God's, at God's point. But for all of us in an audience, for all of us that are still here, all of us that understand that there is way more to life than what this short breath, this short time brings, what is life without hope? And again, knowing that he laid that down, that we can have that hope, and through that hope, that the perseverance, the character, the hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love to our hearts, and that as well. Flip over there to Romans 12. Continuing on with the thoughts of heart, the thought of hope and the hope that we have in him. But Romans 12 in verse 9. Again, how often these scriptures, and you bring up hope, but tied right with it is love. And we'll touch on that a little bit more. But again, the between the faith and the hope that God has given. But in Romans 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patience in afflictions, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I read those verses, and I come together with this group of people right here 2-3 times a week. These people don't need to be preached to. This is an amazing group of people that understand love and understand God and worship him. With that understanding, what hope brings, and that suffering that they give. Again, the hospitality is unprecedented. The things that these individuals, I'm talking to us as a third person, but it's just amazing to see the things given in the time, words, thoughts, prayers, cards, all those that just as he's talking about this love, the sincerity of. And of course, I'll kind of tie this all back together. I keep talking about love without actually getting to love, but in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm no doubt very familiar to all of us. And a funny verse to be talking about in a relationship to a funeral, because this is the verse that usually goes along hand in hand with the marriage. But that idea of once you've created that and what you're going to bring as a person, as an individual. But again, 1 Corinthians 13, starting 4-7, what love is, and Paul's talking about the things that it brings. Verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It is not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. again, I kind of made the analogy of this was read at a lot of weddings. But once that relationship grows, any relationship grows, and you start seeing the deeper meaning of all that, it's more practical. You understand that it perseveres. What love does over time. When love is young and love is in, you kind of overlook a lot of things, but the older that you get and the more true you get, you see what God, what Paul's pointing out here, what love does, how it holds all this together. All this is tied up in love, but we do hear and know more important what we are doing to make sure we are in heaven with God one day. Again, I will leave the lesson with you there too. It was a quick overview, but the idea about a family and friendship, about patience, forgiveness, about hope, and it all tied together with love. Sometimes we understand these things, and sometimes it may be really good just to talk about them again and think about and apply them to what we've been, what we've done. Again, maybe I didn't learn any life lessons this week, Josh, but I felt like I existed. And if I existed and made it through the week, it was a good week. So with that in mind, just keep that in mind as you go through the week. And the way you treat your family, your friends, yourself, the things that God has laid out that He wants us to be better as individuals and accept the gifts that He had given us too. We talked about sometime this week too. Sometimes the gifts that are laid down, well, all we have to do is pick them up and accept them. And there's a lot of gifts God has given us with just that. No cost, no strings, no intentions of that. Just pick them up and use them. But with that, and I'll bet with you, so as always, we do offer the invitation if there is any needs as we stand and as we sing.